Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Joanne, thank you very much indeed. Now, COP27 now, because world leaders are continuing to meet in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt at the COP27 climate conference, where the issue of financial assistance for smaller countries is dominating the agenda. There are indications of tangible progress as wealthy countries are increasing climate finance commitments, a pivotal issue for developing countries gathered at the UN summit in Cairo. Climate change poses a serious threat, as you know, to all Caribbean nations, despite their low contribution to global greenhouse gas emissions. And one country significantly impacted is Jamaica. Well, before coming on air, I spoke with Matthew Samuda, who is a Jamaican senator and minister with responsibility for environment in the Ministry of Economic Growth and Job Creation. He's part of the Jamaican delegation at COP this week, and I began by asking him for his reaction to what he'd heard at COP27 so far.
Well, thus far, what we're seeing is a lot of enthusiasm, the usual flurry of initial pledges. We're guardedly optimistic that this could indeed, achieve its targets and achieve what it set out to, which is a massive scaling up of ambition, certainly in its mitigation and adaptation efforts and the financing to back it. And with the acknowledgement of loss and damage on the agenda, that too could start the process that is so badly needed to not just recognize it, but to put in place the funds to deal with countries who have already suffered significant loss and damage because of the inability to adapt fast enough.
And you're in that cohort as well, and you bring a very important message on behalf of Jamaica with your colleagues, because as the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has said in the last day or so, the countries that have contributed the least to global emissions are being impacted first. So what is your message specifically at this climate conference?
So our message is twofold. In our role as co-chair, as we prepare to hand over co-chair arrangements for the NDC partnership, our message is very clear there. Scale up ambition. We have the mechanisms through the partnership and through other bodies for people to get access to the financing for mitigation and adaptation efforts. That's a major focus of the NDC partnership, which we co-chair with the UK. As Jamaica, as an individual state, our message is that the time is now and that we've all but run out of time for adaptation financing to meet the pledges made. Because the pledges made were never enough. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we've not even met the pledges, puts us in a precarious position. We are already seeing slow onset events. That's saltwater intrusion into our water supply. That's deteriorating soil quality and reduction in pollination rates. We are already seeing loss of beaches and loss of coastline. We are running out of time, and it is not just a moral imperative for us to call for this financing, but a financial imperative that it becomes a reality.
And it's extremely urgent for you. As you say, you've run out of time in terms of adaptation. I think, am I right in saying that Jamaica has 70% of its population living within 3 miles or 5 kilometres or so of the sea? So when you say you've lost beaches and you've lost coastlines, I'm assuming as well that you mean communities have had to move.
So they're not at the point of having to have moved yet, but we are now looking at relocation of persons. And if you know the island, it's not a particularly big space. And persons have lived where it's been economical to build homes before. Moving further inland creates a need for more expensive construction. Certainly, the supporting infrastructure would have to be built. It creates a massive economic crisis for us. And it is why earlier this year we launched what is called the JSTRAT, which is the Jamaica Systemic Risk Assessment Tool, which was designed by the University of Oxford and funded by the GCF and supported by the CCRI. But that is actually analyzing the weaknesses in our infrastructure, both at the residential and commercial level, so that we're able to tailor our investments to meet the needs. However, the scale of the need is just significantly outside of the capacity of our economy. Mm-hmm. And we didn't create this problem. So it's a very challenging time for us and for the rest of the region and indeed all small island developing states.
So I really get the sense of urgency in your tone of voice and the message you're conveying that this is serious for Jamaica right now, yesterday, not even in the next year or so. What kind of money do you need and what will you prioritize? What do you spend it on first?
So, you know, it's a number of areas and there are always more needs than you can get. But the reality is coastal defense by way of hard infrastructure is critical. Significant improvement in our drainage network is absolutely critical. And for a small state like us, we also have to prioritize agricultural resilience to make sure there's a level of food security. We've seen the geopolitics of the day heighten worries as it relates to food security. So when you layer that in with the reduction in farm yields because of deteriorating soil quality, that becomes a huge priority for us as well.
Do you fear in any sense that world leaders, and our own Taoiseach Micheál Martin spoke at COP27 and his message was we need to do more urgently because future generations will not forgive us if leaders don't act now. But is there any fear in your mind and your heart that you could be hearing the right words, but it will fail to materialise into action?
Unfortunately, over the last 5 or so years, that's been the horror movie that the developing world has been subjected to, because we've been hearing the right words. There's never been a COP without a well-received speech from the varying leaders of the developed world. It's the follow-up action that has been lacking. It's why the need for loss and damage has become so pronounced, because we haven't done what we needed to do by way of mitigation and with the energy transition. We haven't done with the adaptation, which heightens the problem and moves some of those problems outside of the capacity for adaptation.
Can I ask you finally, let's say we speak in 5 years' time and not enough is done. What do you think Jamaica will look like?
It's something we don't want to contemplate. I mean, we are working with the NDC partnership to make sure that we honor our commitments, our NDCs, to do our emissions reductions as small as we are. We need everyone else to give that sort of focus that the NDC partnership has called for coming out of COP27 to ensure that we do cut emissions. I mean, ultimately, that's the first and most important major step. If we don't, Jamaica will look very different. I don't want to contemplate what that looks like, but it will be very different. And certainly for our neighbours, it will be very, very challenging times for them as well.
And that was Jamaican Senator Matthew Samuda speaking to us from Cairo, where he's attending COP27. And you can listen back to that as well on the RTÉ website and all the relevant apps.